Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are back here again. It's 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and we have this beautiful source to be with this week called Tomboy, which Justin has chosen. And I am feeling very glad to be here. I'm noticing the welcome of having this practice of being together and how supportive it is, and I've just been reflecting on how wonderful it is to have something which hopefully everybody listening also has by us being here, which is that when things feel difficult and we lose contact with faith or something more robust in ourselves, that we have this place to return to. And that includes me, and I'm sure it includes Justin as well. And it's a very reassuring space, and I feel really glad to have this happening right now and to be here with everybody. And thank you for joining us and joining in. And right now, my wish is that for anybody feeling out of sorts or in any kind of difficulty, that this is a place of recentering and resaning ourselves and reconnecting with one another. And maybe that way we can lessen our own suffering somehow by having this practice of being together and talking and reflecting and finding sources that are written by the same parts of the people who write them, so that we can be drawn into the field of knowing and loving and being centered and faithful. So I'm very, very glad to be here and glad to be reading this source as well, which in reading it, I notice that I feel enlivened by it and also completely wondering about it as well. So I'm very glad to begin the inquiry.
Thank you, Lizzie. So I'm adding my welcome to everyone. You're so welcome to be with us. And Lizzie, I'm glad that you just said what you said about what this might be as well. This Turning Towards Life project, somewhere we can return to and have the opportunity to feel held in, and that we can reconnect with that within us that is healing and sane in a way when we feel spun far away from ourselves. And I suppose that's just another way of turning, of interpreting what turning towards our lives means. And you've said this before, and I'll say it again because it's true. I have often found myself listening back to us, and I started listening back to us as a way of just hearing what we were saying, because we don't. Because this is unrehearsed, sometimes the only way to know what we actually did is to listen. But I've certainly found that listening back, it's enormously grounding and centering for me. So I also hope that this can be for others. And I want to say welcome to our many people who are listening on the podcast, and people who watch us live, and people who catch us on YouTube, and say we're glad that you're with us. And also to make a request, which is, if you think this would be grounding and supportive for other people, please tell them about it. It's such a joy to have this gift spread further in the world. So I found this source today, Tomboy. I want to say thank you to the writer Rebecca Solnit, who posted this quite recently, and it really caught my imagination. And I'm sure we'll say lots about it as we go. And it's called Tomboy. It's originally written, I think, in Spanish. So this is a translation, and I have just lost it. Oh, here it is. It's by Claudia Massin. And we will post it, as we always do, on the Turning Towards Life website, which is turningtowards.life. You can read all the sources there. And I'm going to read it. I don't understand how we walk around the world as if there were a single way for each of us, a kind of life stamped into us like a childhood injection, a cure painstakingly released into the blood with every passing year, like a poison transmuted into antidote against any possible disobedience that might awaken in the body. But the body isn't mere submissive matter, a mouth that cleanly swallows whatever it's fed. It's a lattice of little filaments, as I imagine threads of starlight must be. What can never be touched, that's the body. What lives outside the law when the law is muscled and violent, a boulder plunging off a precipice and crushing everything in its path. How do they manage to wander around so happily and comfortably in their bodies? How do they feel so sure, so confident in being what they are? This blood, these organs, this sex, this species. Haven't they ever longed to be a lizard scorching in the sun every day, or an old man, or a vine clutching a trunk in search of somewhere to hold on, or a boy sprinting till his heart bursts from his chest with sheer brute energy, with sheer desire? We're forced to be whatever we resemble. Haven't you ever wished you knew what it would feel like to have claws or roots or fins instead of hands? What it would mean if you could only live in silence, or by murmuring or crying out in pain or in pain or fear or pleasure? Or if there weren't any words at all, and so the soul of every living thing were measured by the intensity it manifests once it's set free.
I don't understand how we walk around the world as if there were a single way for each of us, a kind of life stamped into us like a childhood injection, a cure painstakingly released into the blood with every passing year, like a poison transmuted into antidote against any possible disobedience that might awaken in the body. But the body isn't mere submissive matter, a mouth that cleanly swallows whatever it's fed. It's a lattice of little filaments, as I imagine threads of starlight must be. What can never be touched, that's the body. What lives outside the law, when the law is muscled and violent, a boulder plunging off a precipice and crushing everything in its path. How do they manage to wander around so happily and comfortably in their bodies? How do they feel so sure, so confident in being what they are? This blood, these organs, this sex, this species. Haven't they ever longed to be a lizard scorching in the sun every day, or an old man, or a vine clutching a trunk in search of somewhere to hold on, or a boy sprinting till his heart bursts from his chest with sheer brute energy, with sheer desire? We are forced to be whatever we resemble. Haven't you ever wished you knew what it would feel like to have claws or roots or fins instead of hands? What it would mean if you could only live in silence, or by murmuring or crying out in pain or fear or pleasure? Or if there weren't any words at all, and so the soul of every living thing measured once and set free.
I really loved this poem the first time I read it. And I know that part of the, my understanding is that part of the place that this comes from, I don't know anything about the author, is a response to the way we grow up forced into gender roles. And that it's written in the midst of a, you know, what is a kind of new opening that's happening in the world, which is allowing a bit more space around how we understand our bodily gender and how we might live. And it seems to me it's an incredibly powerful response to that. But what really drew me to the poem was how it's for everyone, even if that's not exactly the kind of tussle we're in our lives. And the line that gets me this morning, Lizzie, so powerfully, I've just lost it, is I saw it when you were reading it, and now I have to find it again. Oh, there it is. We're forced to be whatever we resemble. Mm. It seems to me that that one line captures so beautifully exactly what happens for every single person, which is that we come into the world resembling something in the minds and hearts of the people that we're around. Because, of course, when we arrive in the world, we don't know anything about what we resemble. We're just life. And we might resemble something because we have a particular shaped body with particular organs, and then that means that for the people around us, that means, oh, you'll like one of these, so we're going to school you in being one of these. But it which of course is an incredibly powerful kind of apprenticeship and training. But it also struck me, you know, we remind the people around us of this or that person, or we remind the people around us of this or that possibility. And how, before we even know it, we are being taught how to be that possibility that we represent in the family or the culture that we live in. And it seems to me that there's so much fear about the possibility that we might be something other than how we look, or how we look to other people. One of the great kind of tragedies that there's been around gender, but again, I want to keep on expanding it to include the way that this is true for everyone, is this great tragedy that maybe in the name of taking good care of us, and maybe in the name of love, we get taught very quickly a big set of constraints about how it's okay to be, and then we find ourselves living in it. So to be invited to wonder what it would be like to be a lizard, or what it would like to be an old man, or what it might be like to be something that for which there are no words, to me feels like the most giant and deeply exciting and inspiring kind of liberation, because I can feel in my own body as you were reading, gosh, you know, there isn't just one way to be, there isn't just one way for me to move, and there isn't one way for me to speak, and there isn't one way for me to think, and there isn't one way for me to love. Like, my, just by being a human, the space of possibilities is so large, but I'm so familiar with a particular way that I've taken to be myself. So I feel right now opened by the possibility that I might learn to dance in a new way, or move in a new way, or speak in a new way. And last part of this thought, it, for me, is, and that's our birthright by being human, that we can actually do this because we're not fixed. So it's very beautiful to have a reminder. It feels important to me to have a fierce reminder like this.
Yeah, there's so much in what you're saying, Justin, and the image of a lizard keeps arising as you're talking, like when we have to redefine what all of this is and how scary it is and how supportive it is that this line, you know, what can never be touched, that's the body, touched by the laws, touched by the this violent boulder plunging off a precipice and crushing everything in its path. That's for me, like, that's the weight of the shoulds, of how things should be. And this kind of reassuringness that who we are, which this poet is calling the body in some way, and things might awaken there, that's untouchable somehow. And that because that's untouchable, there's a way that we can work with the skins that might fall off or need to fall off in order for something else to be revealed. And, you know, really wondering what it's like to be a lizard and to feel each of these, don't know what I would call it, like steps in our development or deepenings in our lives that often feel really difficult. That there is a skin beneath the skin. There's a way of being beneath a way of being that is born of this untouchableness. Because we're beings. Feels like a very faithful place to orient. And that when it feels like our skin is falling off, that we are questioning our identity, questioning, as you say, like, is this the only way I can move? Is this the only way I can think? Because somehow life is having its way with me that it's asking me to think differently, to be differently, to approach something differently, to feel something I don't want to feel. If life's having its way with us in that manner, then there's a way that this kind of source, this kind of inquiry is so helpful because, as you say, it's letting us know that we're not fixed as we are, that there are possibilities. And that the body isn't mere submissive matter, a mouth that cleanly swallows whatever it's fed. It's a lattice of little filaments, as I imagine threads of starlight must be. That I can have that line to invite me into the nuance of myself, of the fact that I'm not a straightforward thing. But there's way more going on and way more subtleness and fine distinction into who I am than the broad sweeps of humanness that we're supposed to be or we are confined to by our own thinking and other people's perceptions and all the ways that the world perpetuates stereotypes or the shoulds of life of what a human life should look like, and that we're doing that too. And I know in our work, Justin, one of the most hopeful things that I find is that we call this opening, not something else that denotes being unhelpable or forsaken or something, but that to feel like we're questioning, like we don't know who we are today, is an opportunity. And there's deepening that's always possible. And really, thank God for that. Thank goodness we can be reinvited back into that notion of opening and how liberating that feels to me, to be always able to return to that place. This is an opening, no matter how frightened I am. No matter how scared I feel, no matter how much pain I might be in, how much I think that the well of grief might never end, how much I feel like if I begin to cry, I might never stop. You know, all of those things. If I can have a relationship to them that this is an opening and I might be a lizard and I might be made of threads of starlight, then a whole different process can begin rather than the habitual way I get of moving so far away from myself.
I really love the way, Lizzie, that you're bringing this back to the ways we have of constraining ourselves and oppressing our own freedom, let alone everything that other people might do or that we might do to other people to do that. That when we find, I was particularly started to see that when you talked about grief, for example. So I suppose the way that in which I know this in myself is when some new and strong experience arises in me, you know, like something I'm not familiar with feeling, or maybe something I'm not familiar with saying, or maybe some way, like I said before, I want to move that I'm not familiar with moving. Or the little and big, subtle inner kind of oppressive forces that go, that's not me, don't do this, which of course are related to the outer kinds of constraints that we live in. But I'm just really noticing that, at least for me, I'm guessing this is true of most of us, that there are watchful, vigilant parts of me that have quite a strong idea about what kind of person I'm meant to be through being the age I am, the having the body I am, the history I am, the family I've grown up in, the country I live in, all kinds of things, like lots and lots and lots of stories with constraints in them, and that to begin to break through and break out of them, or in those moments where I find myself breaking out of them quite without my own intention, something new. So that's why grief is such a good example, because grief is one of these things that just comes through. The difference in that moment between the moves that we make to try and get ourselves back into whatever shape, this line that I read earlier that I've now can't find about, where I'm participating in forcing myself to be whatever I take myself to resemble, the difference between that, and like you say, is the possibility of seeing this sort of breaking through as an opening into a much wider space, a much wider set of possibilities for living. They're really different paths to choose. And one is ostensibly safer, but filled with the, this is what I love about this poem, is the kind of suffering you can feel in keeping our lives tightly bound in a particular set of shape, and what we might do if we were to welcome that which is breaking through, which, like you say, might be finding myself being a lizard or an old man or a vine clutching a trunk, or a boy sprinting till his heart bursts from his chest, or having claws or roots or fins, or living in silence. But all these wonderful examples that are in the poem. Feels to me in speaking about it that is life doing its thing. And there's so much generosity and kindness and creativity that can come from there if we can remember that our bodies are lattices of starlight. The other line that's really catching my eye as I'm speaking to you, Lizzie, is noticing the disobedience that awakens in the body. We don't have to live as if we've been injected, just to exactly take up the words of the poet, as if we've been injected in something which is kind of going to catch every, be the antidote for every disobedience. We can live treating what we've taken to be disobedience as an opening into freedom. And it takes us cultivating the courage and love to do that. And it's also really helped by having other people around us who welcome us. And I think this is probably why this poem is, one of the reasons why this poem is so important, is that so many of us don't have and haven't yet found people around us who, when something new bursts forth, instead of going, we'll soon have you back the way you were, Lizzie. You'll be over this soon. You'll be back to your old self. Instead of doing that, go, oh my goodness, look at this that's coming through. Welcome. Please show us and bring us this part of you. What a joy that you might not be what you've taken yourself to be so far.
Yeah. That's so beautiful, Justin. Just that we might be that. That we might be a welcome for disobedience, as we're framing it here, of something new being born. Can we welcome it rather than try and shove it back into its previous form again? And also trust that being born anew in some way, in part of ourselves, we can trust that we can emerge into something new and that there's a place for it. And again, I just think if we're not in community, though, how hard that must be. You know, how hard it must be to bridge that gap between, I think I might be emerging as this, and then questioning whether the world will be welcoming of me, that me, that lizard version that's in maybe a different colour or a different sexual orientation or a different gender even, or a different kind of person, or a different anything about me, somebody who suddenly says no to things when I've always said yes, or somebody who cries a lot when I never used to cry, or
right.
Just a difference, something that's emerging that feels like mine. How beautiful a world might we have if we can open and trust and trust that we can be a welcome for these different parts coming forth that are born of this excellent disobedience, and yet which, as you say, everybody, there's so many people who would try and get us back somewhere, try and fix something instead of helping us find the land that we'd like to stand on, that allows us to be this part of ourselves really fully. Oh. And then that last line, so the soul of every living thing were measured by the intensity it manifests once it's free. It's like, what if we could be a welcome of that, and trusting that freedom, that intensity of freedom is what we are, what life is, if we let go of our skins when they decide that they want to be shed.
Such a different orientation, isn't it, Lizzie, from I think what many of us do most of the time, which is essentially live our lives as a project of continued hypervigilance, where we're vigilant always to other people not fitting in. You know, you travel on the train or something and see somebody who doesn't. I mean, one of the places to notice this is what happens when you see and encounter people who you don't know, who you can't place in your ordinary categories of how a person should be because of how they dress or how they move or how they speak, or to notice all those moves we make which go, inner moves which go, this isn't right. And now somehow I can't connect with you, or I have to oppress you, or I have to just get out of the way because it's so uncomfortable. How we're doing that all the time with other people around us, and then the people we know and love and are in close, we're sort of clocking all the time. Do you fit? Do you fit? Do you fit? Do you fit? So they turn up with a different haircut, or they turn up and they say something different than they've ever said before. And we can be vigilant like that all the time. And then, of course, we can be vigilant like that with ourselves all the time, sort of policing ourselves all the time. And this beautiful way that you're talking about it, I'm so glad you brought in the end of this poem. For the soul of everything living thing were measured by the intensity it manifests once it's set free. In order to realize the possibility there, we have to be prepared to get onto all the guilt and shame and fear from which we're living that has us do all this constraining all the time. I think if we can't first feel that, it's harder for us to live on the other side of this call to freedom, because we're going to feel it. Just like the one that really touched me was when you said before, if we've never cried and now we find ourselves crying. So can we feel all the things we feel about now being someone who's crying, and instead of trying to cut it off, can we let it through? That's the work. It's really a great act of courage and kindness that's called for to do this. And it's no wonder to me that so many of us have to work really hard to find communities of people where this is welcome, and why very often we organize ourselves around other people who, if we're lucky, other people who are encountering the same beginning of a freedom in order to be with. But the bigger question is, can we learn to do this for everybody, not just people who are in the same opening as we are? So I'm left, as we come to the end of our half an hour together, Lizzie, feeling really tender and touched, but also really inspired by our conversation and by this poem about what people can be. It's amazing what we can be if we will give ourselves half a chance and give up on being afraid of one another so much.
It's very beautiful. I'm really grateful for this conversation and where, as usual, where this source has led us. It's really beautiful. And I'm grateful, Justin, for you recognizing the invitation in things in the way that you choose sources as well.
Thank you, Lizzie. Well, thank you for everyone for being with us. It's, as we said earlier, it's a joy that we get to have this conversation and that anybody else finds it useful, but apparently you do. So thank you so much for joining us. We will very, very gladly see you next week. Please tell other people about this work if you think that they would benefit from it. And we'll sign off for now.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. See you next week.